Hey, welcome back, everyone, to another episode of the Shannon Show podcast. I'm your host, as always, Shannon Hyde, and today we have another episode. Today we are interviewing Camille. She was very nice to reach out, and we had a brief conversation over email, getting to know each other just a little bit, exchanging some information, and now we're so happy to have her on the podcast today. She is a KUBI graduate herself, so that is always something I'm very excited to talk about. Everyone knows I love talking about Kubisaki and the island of Okinawa. So, Camille, welcome to the show, and how are you doing today?
Thank you. I'm doing well. Today is actually one of my days off, so I'm glad to have a three-day weekend.
Awesome. What do you do?
So I work as an admin coordinator at a private university here in the Bay Area.
Gotcha. That's awesome. And how long have you been doing that for?
I've only been here since January, so I'm coming up on my 1 year, but it's been good.
Wow. That's awesome. Congrats on that.
Thank you.
That sounds like a good time. Living in California as well. I mean, the weather is just nice there all the time, year-round, right?
Pretty much in the Bay Area, honestly, since I moved over here, the weather has definitely changed. Like right now it should be cooler, but like the sun's out, so it's like raising up to like 80 degrees. So not the fall weather that I would expect, but you know, it is what it is.
Right. Everyone I talk to, no one's ever content entirely with the weather in their situation. Like here in Pennsylvania, I hate the cold, but then my parents, they're in Florida and they're just like, I want the winter weather. I'm like, what are you talking about? It's awful. It's the worst. So, yeah, that's always something I find funny. But you are a military kid yourself. Tell me a little bit about your family's background and what branch your family is a part of. I know you lived in Okinawa. Just what your childhood was like briefly.
So just a brief rundown. Like I moved around quite a bit, I would say, since I was born pretty much. We were up and moving every 3 years to 1.5. Like, so it just kind of varied depending on the stage in our life that we were at. So my dad is in the Marine Corps. He's going to retire in December after 30 years, finally.
Wow, 30.
So congrats to him. Yeah, exactly. Wow.
That's really impressive. My dad was also Marine Corps. He did 20, and I thought that was a long time, but wow, 30, that's quite the career.
Right, he didn't want to do 30 either.
He didn't?
No.
Just sometimes it happens, out that way. Right?
Definitely.
Yeah, I hear that all the time. Like one location leads to another, and the next thing you know, you stick around a little longer than you're expecting. You said you moved around a lot every 3 years, so pretty typical. What was your favorite spot? What were some of the places that you lived overseas and stateside?
The favorite spot is very hard for me. So I would say among the top like five places that I've been. So Okinawa was one where I kind of was raised a little bit. A lot of my time was spent in Okinawa. I was in Jacksonville, North Carolina.
Right.
I lived in Amman, Jordan, in Managua, Nicaragua.
Are you kidding? What? Jordan?
Yes,
Nicaragua?
My goodness. Those were each a year and a half. So by the time I graduated at Kubisaki, that was my third high school.
Oh my goodness. And your third overseas high school.
Yes. Yeah. And they were all very, very different.
Yeah, I can imagine. Talk to me about Jordan a little bit. What was that like? And was this your freshman year of high school?
Yes, my freshman year. Gotcha. So I was there my freshman year to half of my sophomore year in Jordan.
Okay.
Jordan was nice overall. I think now thinking back and processing everything, that was probably one of my favorite places to be, just weather-wise, I guess. It's kind of like the desert, but it wasn't what I would have expected, if that makes sense. For me personally, being of Asian descent, a lot of their hired help are also like Sri Lankans, Filipinos. So I personally was looked down upon. I don't know, one time I was at a farmer's market. One time I was at a farmer's market with my mom and her friend, and there was some local that was trying to hand off her baby to me. Like, not even kidding. Like, here, you come take my kid. Yeah. It's like, let me go shop and you take care of the baby right now.
Okay.
Like, no. Yeah.
It's a little strange.
Very, very strange. So I feel like just that perspective for me, it was very awkward just to be out in the public if I wasn't like with my dad or if I wasn't with like other, I guess, locals, if that makes sense.
Interesting. Yeah. So what was that community like altogether? Because I haven't heard of many military kids living in Jordan. What's the military U.S. military community like there?
Yeah, so honestly, so this is where I was part of the State Department. So like my dad worked at the embassy, the American embassy that was there in Amman. So there was a couple of kids that were either military or they were just State Department kids. Mm-hmm. So there wasn't like a Dodia school or like an actual base. I lived out in like with the locals pretty much.
Yeah.
Like my neighbors, I didn't know who they were. There wasn't anybody that like really lived close to me.
Yeah.
And the school, like I said, it wasn't Dodia school. So it was a private, I think.
Yeah.
Like a lot of locals, they had to pay to get into that school.
Yeah. That is so interesting because you hear like all the time, like going to Dodea schools overseas, and that's one thing because you're around people who, you know, definitely speak the same language, definitely have a lot of the similar characteristics and values that you have. But whenever you're just thrown into a local population like that, that must have been quite the adjustment. What
definitely.
Was there any like shocking, like culture shocks for you immediately that you can remember? Or?
The only thing that I can really remember culture shock wise is the dress. Cause like, so in Jordan is where like women are more free, if that makes sense. So I didn't have to dress in like a hijab or anything like that. But if I were to move, don't quote me, but maybe Syria, but another, if I was in another country, I would have to be dressed as the locals were. But in Jordan, you don't have to do anything of that. It's just like something with like your clothes or your dresses can't be below your or above your knees, and like your shoulders can't be showing. So it's just little tidbits.
Oh my goodness, I can't imagine. Like, cause you go, where were you before Jordan?
Before Jordan, I was in Jacksonville, North Carolina.
So you go from North Carolina, very, very American, very, you know, laid back. And now you have like this entire different set of like values and like guidelines. It's just, wow. That must have been quite the experience. And you go from there to Nicaragua. I heard the surfing is really good there. That's all I know.
I went to the beach probably a couple times.
Okay.
It wasn't a main part that I really visited there personally. It's just so hot. To me, it was just so hot there. Like, it's just summer 24/7. The school I went to, like, not trying to sound like a brat or anything, but like no AC. It was just fans. Like,
No, that sounds terrible. I don't think that's not bratty at all.
Yeah, my bus ride was 2 hours to get there, 2 hours to get home. Like,
you're kidding, 2 hours to your school from where you lived?
It was, I think it's just the route that they took. So it's like they had probably 3 to 4 buses, and they were like, if you would imagine like maybe like a 12-seater bus type situation. Mm-hmm. It wasn't like a magnificent bus because everybody else got picked up by the drivers. So,
because
it was a private Catholic school.
So similar situation?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And going from Jordan to there, what was that move like? Because I know there's always, whenever you move from one overseas spot to another, there's a lot of logistical nightmares when it comes to taking your stuff. You already probably don't have all of your like household belongings.
Yeah.
And now you're taking another portion of those to a different continent. What was that move like?
That move was kind of, for me personally, I feel like it was hard on me because first of all, that wasn't one of the spots that we like chose to go to. So it was kind of thrown from left side, but again, you have to adapt. Let's see, there, I feel like social-wise with like the kids that were there, there was such a tight knit, like we only had one class. So everybody shifted around with each other, you know, throughout the day. So
was this like 30 kids?
Maybe less than that, to be honest, 30 or less. Yeah.
And you're spending all day with them.
Right. And me not speaking Spanish, like, you know, it's an American school.
Yeah.
It's a Catholic school, supposed to speak English, but they don't. So just for me to fit in, since I didn't speak Spanish, I was kind of like pushed to the side.
So whenever you're going through like living in these different places, how are you like succeeding and like upholding your standards of achieving certain grades and becoming involved? Because like high school is still a really important time in your life to learn about yourself, engage your interests, and prepare for adulthood. How are you able to balance that? Or how did you maybe struggle or do really well with that?
Yeah, I definitely feel like I had a lot of struggles growing up that now, as an adult, I like thought process and I'm just like, okay, this is why I'm who I am today, if that makes sense. So I feel like I can just adapt very, very well to certain situations. I just kind of take a quick scope of how everything is. And then just me personally, I just know what to do. But I feel like I was just outcasted, if that makes sense. So I say to myself a lot of the time, I just kind of focus on doing my school. And graduating and getting out. So that was like my main focus in high school, was just finishing everything and being done with it.
Yeah, I hear that all the time, because like you're so focused on just going from station to station and just like trying to survive at a certain place. Yes. You're just trying to get through it, especially in a situation where you don't speak the language and you just move from another foreign country to another. Like, I just can't imagine. And like, I try to advise kids, I'm sure you would do the same, and from your perspective now, to like try to be more outgoing, like try your best to try to become more involved and make friends and make the most of it. But it's just so hard when you're actually in those shoes to like have that sort of mindset, especially as a kid.
Yes, definitely. Because if there's one thing that I wish I had was just confidence, just to be myself, just to be a kid, just to be a teenager. Because I feel like that confidence could have taken me a lot further. And just like you said, to be involved with a lot of stuff, just being outcasted. I just didn't want to, I didn't want to participate in anything, if that makes sense.
No, I totally feel you on that. That is, it's just such a tough situation to be in. And I mean, at least one of the good things that does come out of it is like where you are now, and you can look back and you can say, these are the lessons I learned. This is why that was a good thing for me, hopefully. Like, hopefully you look back on that and say, you know, those are really good learning experiences for where we go after that. How do you mentally approach a move like that? You said you were unfortunately outcasted, like you had a hard time getting involved, but do you remember like what your strategy was? Like, was there any like sort of like, what was your headspace?
Let's see. I feel like, again, like I just saying, I just would just adapt, because it's like those that would talk to me, again, I'm also on the shy side. So like, I'm very quiet and I just, again, like to just observe and take everything in. So I feel like I just kind of just watch everybody just see what they would observe. Do. And like, exactly. And whoever would interact with me, I was always kind back to them, but it just took for them to kind of approach me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that is quite the transition. And you go to Okinawa, which I'm sure after those last two moves probably was a really nice change of scenery, maybe, like going to Kubusaki. Definitely. Now you're going to a Dodea school. You're going to kids who definitely speak the same language. It's a little bit of a different environment. Talk about that transition.
That was interesting, to be honest. Yeah. So like, coming back my senior year, there were still a lot of kids that I went to elementary school with that were going to Kubusaki.
Wow,
so that was very interesting to see. Yeah. Yeah, very nice. But again, with me being on the shy side, I wasn't taking the approach to be like, hey, we used to be best friends in third grade.
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah, that's a tough thing to bring up.
Yeah, definitely. So everybody was kind of just in their own clique. So I just kind of maneuvered where I could and wherever I fit in.
Yeah. And then what was your first impressions of the island of Okinawa and the Kubusaki? I'm sure it's more of a rundown building. It's not like all that at first glance. Yeah. But how did you end up acclimating to that community the best you could?
I think so. The island definitely changed from what I remember when I left in 2006. So just seeing how everything kind of adapted and just being older. So I was in sixth grade when I left. So you know, I liked the culture. I liked some of the food, but me being, I guess, a foodie now, when I came back to Okinawa, I was like, sushi.
sushi. It's sushi unbelievable. I tell people that all the time. It's just different.
Yes. Like it's unmatched. Like if I could just stay there and eat all the sushi I could, I would.
It's unbelievable. And so much cheaper here. Like I go to a Japanese restaurant. I'm like, you're charging how much for one roll?
Yeah.
It's unbelievable.
Exactly.
I cannot speak enough about the sushi there. It's unbelievable. And all the food, the ramen as well. It's really a great place for food. Now you got me distracted. I don't even know where I was going with.
With the building, with a camp. So I don't think I did a campus tour of Kubusaki before I started. I started like slightly after everybody else's. So everybody else did. So I was like the new one, I guess, if that makes sense. Yeah. So,
Do you think it was easier or noticeably easier to adjust to a community where there's other military kids like you, as opposed to Nicaragua or Jordan, where you're going to an international or a private school where, you know, there's a lot of local kids as well, versus, you know, Kubusaki is pretty much a strictly American kid community with a few locals who go there. Was that like very noticeably different for you?
Oh, definitely.
Yeah, that's right.
Top notch, definitely. I feel like I fit in like a little bit more at Kubusaki, just the environment and like having all these different like unspoken bonds with everybody, everything that we've gone through. Like military kids go through a lot.
Yeah, it's a great feeling whenever you're walking down the hallways and you know that everyone else has their own story and similar, you know, obstacles that they've overcome. It's really a unique feeling, especially there. I absolutely loved it there. Which base did you live on? Did you live off base?
I lived, I forget. I think it's in North Foster Towers, like where E.C. Killen is.
Yeah,
that's where I moved to one of those towers right there. Yeah.
Yep. I know exactly where that. Yep. That is. Oh my goodness. They're building. You know, they're building a new Kubusaki. Well, they've been talking about it for a while. They've been talking about building the new Kubusaki, but they tore down the old Zukrin Elementary School, built the new Zukrin, which is totally different. And then at least from my understanding, the new Kupizaki is supposed to go where the old Zugrin was. So I'm not sure what status of that is, but they've had the plans for a while. It was supposed to be done in 2020, but you know, I don't even think that's going anywhere. But
exactly.
Yeah, it is. I hope to go back one day, and it will be cool to see mm-hmm. how the island changes. I'm sure that was for you mm-hmm. whenever you went back after you left in sixth grade. But what were some of your favorite things to do on the island? If there was like any one thing in particular, besides the sushi, love the sushi, but mm-hmm. did you feel that you had a connection with the Japanese community as well, or Okinawan, I should say?
I definitely would say so. So the teacher that my mom used to work with, and that's funny that you mentioned Zukerin, I used to work at that elementary school.
Oh, no kidding. Still,
yeah. Yes, yeah, that was my first job. I was an aide over there.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That is awesome.
So one of the teachers, Mrs. Russell, she took my mom, my sister, and I out to venture out. She lived in Yomitan. So that whole area and that whole aspect and how she kind of maneuvered herself through Okinawa was just amazing.
Yeah.
Like, she had all these different relationships with different, like, bakery owners and this, like, different places that she would visit. So that, I feel like, was just experiencing all that culture and stuff was very fun and very, like, eye-opening, if that makes sense. Like, a lot of people don't really see the differences in life, you know, when they're just living here in the States and when they move overseas. It's so, so different.
Totally different world. It's really unbelievable. And having someone like that was able to show you like some of her favorite spots or connections in the community, it makes like such a big difference. And that's why I love the sponsors that they have for new families mm-hmm. in Okinawa, and just having someone to introduce you to the community gives you such a big head start that is really, really tremendous for military families. Do you think you go from Jordan, where people are like trying to give you their babies while they're grocery shopping, to a very, I think, more so welcoming Okinawan community? Everyone's just very polite. I know it's like part of their culture, but just very kind. Obviously, there's a few protests, I'm sure you noticed, like around Kadena and Futenma, but you're going to find that anywhere where there's large U.S. military influence overseas, I feel like. Do you think that what did you think of the contrast between those two?
Between the two? See, I didn't experience too much of that. I know I heard definitely about all the protests and stuff, but I just kind of stayed in my like shell, if that makes sense. Yeah, because like with Okinawa too, like it was hard making friends senior year of high school. You know, everybody's already
in your senior year
halfway everyone's, out the door. Everybody's experienced everything together. So like I would go out a little bit, but not too much, I would say.
Yeah. And then moving somewhere for your senior year as well, like your post high school plans are kind of like put on hold in a lot of ways, because you have to figure out what you're doing for the next year of your life. You don't even know where you're going to be living. So it's kind of hard to plan beyond that. I did the same. I moved from Okinawa to North Carolina for my senior year, and then COVID happened the second half of my senior year. So that all sorts of things go haywire when you have something like that happen. Are there any particular teachers at Kupizaki you want to shout out that were maybe particularly impactful or helpful, I hope, to you with certain things or acclimating? You can say no, or you can just say that they're all awful, because I today teachers, there's a mix of both, but I just want to give you the floor.
Definitely.
Now,
because there's definitely. And that's funny, because I had to bust out my yearbook, because I was looking at the questions. I'm like, I honestly don't remember any of my teacher's names, like
totally understandable. I mean, there's only one year.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. One that stood out, I remember Coach Bales, his class. Everybody was
Coach
convinced.
Bales.
Did you have him?
No, he's still there.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. He's still there. Yeah. So I think that was the talk of us. Like, oh, you're never going to leave. You're just you're Coach Bales.
He's there for good. Yeah. He's so funny. I don't know a better word than like adorable, because like he'd go every time we'd have a pep rally, he'd go to the gym and he'd be recording on like his iPhone 4, like sideways, just like show, like recording the whole thing. Like it was a once in a lifetime experience, but we have like three of them every year. And he was just like, he was just really in the moment. And Coach Bales was great. I didn't know him too much personally, but obviously he was pretty well known around the campus. Yeah, so going into your senior year, what's going through your mind for after high school then? I know I already mentioned that you're probably just like in survival mode. You're trying to just like get through this next move. Like what are you like, are there any thoughts going on? What was your plan? Were you ambitious? Were you still, I know you said you're more of a shy person, but what was going through your mind at the time?
Yeah, see, again, with the shyness, with my confidence, I think that's just what I needed growing up. I needed to have more confidence in myself. I don't know if that streamed, you know, from like just my upbringing or however, but I know I definitely needed that because I was more on the timid side. I was nervous to apply to universities. I was afraid of rejection. That's why I didn't apply to any, to be honest.
Yeah.
Like, when it came to SAT time, I took one SAT and I was like, okay, I'm never doing this again. And I just kind of gave up on it. So I took, I don't want to say the easy route, but I went ahead and just went to UMUC, right? UMUC. They offer that for everybody. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I ended up just enrolling in a program there and stayed at home for the next, what was it, year and a half that I was on the island. Mm-hmm. And then from there, I just, after I left Okinawa, that's kind of when I took my college, not more seriously, but I dove a lot deeper in.
Yeah. I mean, that's totally understandable in that you need like, just like a little bit of time to settle down, I feel like, in like a lot of ways. I know that a lot of people do end up staying in Okinawa for another year or two just because you've had like this hectic childhood. And now it's like, it's just like adulthood is just kind of like thrust upon you out of nowhere. It really feels like it really sneaks up on a lot of kids. So yeah, I just, I can't imagine. Like, it's just, it's a lot going on, especially like the moves that you made. Like, that is just such a unique combination and really probably the least ideal combination I can imagine for going through your high school years.
Honestly, yeah, that's, I just remember going into it and I was like, I'm going to be at three different high schools. Like, are you serious? But
in three different countries, no less. Yeah. Do you think about that often? Like, how often now? Because I mean, like, you're a little more removed from your high school days, but are you just like, man, that was unbelievable. Like, I was running the gauntlet there. Like, I was just, I was going through it.
Yes. Yes, definitely. I feel like that's a lot of like my background and my story. I feel like that, not that I preach to everybody, but you know, whenever somebody hears, oh, your dad was in the military, well, tell me all about it. That's kind of where I, like, you know, I just maneuver my story through and I'm like, yeah, I have to do this, I have to do this, I have to do that.
And it's just, it's so foreign to kids, like probably kids that you maybe knew in Jacksonville, North Carolina, who just lived there their entire lives. They spend all 18 years in one house going to one school with the same set of teachers, coaches, parents, influences. And they just, you know, they take that for granted in a lot of ways. I'm sure not all of them do, but that's just the normal. So that whenever they see someone like you or someone, another military kid who's moved around all the time and, you know, is a little bit different and they have a different bag of experiences and a different different characteristics, it's just, there's a little bit of a disconnect, I feel like, especially adjusting to a college campus. I feel like I've realized as well in that there's a lot of differences in how we were raised that isn't talked about enough, I don't think.
Definitely.
Yeah. Do you think that overall it helped you in the long run, though? Do you think that these experiences and these moves made you better off?
Definitely. Yeah. I definitely believe so. I truly, with adapting and, you know, I see a lot of people that kind of look at their lens through a very small hole. And there's other people that are like, oh my gosh, like it's just, their eyes are more open. I feel like that's how I was brought up going through all these situations. Like my eyes are open and I'm looking through everything through a big lens and through a bigger picture. Whereas other people are just so close-minded.
Yeah.
Which I didn't understand growing up because that's definitely what my dad was just like, you know, how fortunate you are to be moving around and getting to experience all these different
places. I'm sure it's hard to hear that at the time. Living. It's like, this is the worst thing ever.
Exactly. What was going through my head. But as an adult, you're just like, dang, that was a lot. And then I went through, there's a lot that I was able to travel to and to see, or there's other people in the world that, again, like you were saying, in North Carolina or anywhere, that just stay in the same spot for 20 plus, 30 plus, their whole life.
Yeah. Did you have friends that you were trying to keep in contact with? I mean, you're stretched across so many different time zones over those high school years and then going back to middle school in North Carolina. How did you have a hard time? Because I know social media wasn't as big as it is now back then, like just trying to stay in touch. Because like whenever you move from somewhere at a certain point, at that point, it's like you're kind of just gone. Like it's really hard to maintain contact as a kid.
Yeah, definitely. So when I had social media, I'd say, I definitely connected with a lot of people from middle school, even elementary school. Sorry, can you hear all that?
No, you're good. You're good.
Okay, cool. I lost where I was going.
Connecting with people on social media after the fact?
There you go. Thank you. Mm-hmm. So when I moved to Amman, that's when Facebook became a big thing.
Gotcha.
So a lot of those people that I connected with Amman were already on my Facebook page. To this day, I'm not really active on social media, so I don't really keep in touch with a lot
probably
of them.
For the better.
For the better, I think so, definitely. Like, I'm so much happier without social media. It's crazy.
Was there a moment where you made that decision that you want to get off social media?
Yeah, definitely. Honestly, it was just kind of a couple of years ago, like 2019, 2020 is when I cut everything off, just for the better, for myself, for my own mental health, for everything.
What made you want to, how did you know that it was going to work? Like, as I feel addicted to my social media, I talk about this all the time. People listen, I'm so sick of it, but like, I talk about social media, like, because I feel like myself and so many kids my age, there's like definitely a dependency on social media and like some sort of addiction. Yes. And obviously they're designed to be addictive with how they work. How did you feel that? Or were you just like no issues in cutting it off?
Yeah, I definitely did. I felt like social media brought a lot of toxic traits, not to me, but just to my life, I guess. Like, I was in my head the most, like making bigger things out of something that was so little, if that makes sense.
Right.
Like, if I'd be like, oh, well, that person gets these many likes, or this person's doing that. Like, I feel like I was doing a lot of comparing myself. Yeah. And everybody's story is different. Mm-hmm. Everybody's lifestyle is different. Everybody's path is different. So that's where I had to just come to the realization for myself that it's better for my mental health if I just cut it all and just kind of live in the moment.
Yeah. And it's so hard, I think, especially for kids nowadays, like, it's so hard to tell them that it's meaningless. Like, it doesn't mean anything. Like, the amount of like clicks you get on a photo, like when you really look at it, it's just, you know, it's just a glowing rectangle. Like, it's just, it really doesn't mean that much. And, you know, it's so hard for kids who, like, they get so wrapped up in it, and it's like their entire world. It's how they communicate with all of their friends and play all their video games and do all their schoolwork. And just trying to get them disconnected. I don't know. I'm concerned about that for the future, but we can get back to the military again stuff if you'd like. Mm-hmm. Oh geez, where was I going? I get sidetracked so easily.
You're good, same.
What was your family's dynamic during these moves? I'm curious. I'm not sure, because I feel like if I was in that situation, I totally felt this way. Whenever we moved to Japan, I was like, oh, I was not excited. I didn't want to go. I'm like, Dad, this is your fault. Why are you doing this to me? This is the worst thing ever. And I was just kind of like an angry teenager a lot of the time. Did you feel any of that? And if not, how did your family get through those times?
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. I had a lot of those same feelings. Like, I was just like, why would you do this to us? Why would you even think, you know, I'm going into high school. Why would you even think? So with the whole embassy move, that was kind of caught off guard on my end. And I think my mom's end too, because it's with the embassy and the position that he had, it's like a very slim chance for you to do that. And so I think he applied, not kind of informing all of us. Mm-hmm. And then he ended up getting in, and then it's like, oh, well, now you're in. Now you have to roll with the punches.
Exactly.
But yeah, I was just like, why? I don't get it. But I think my dad's mindset was just exposing us to as much as he could while he was in the military in his career, trying to bring his family everywhere and experience the world with him.
It's so easy to see it from both perspectives, though. Like, from the kid's perspective, it's like the worst thing that's ever happened to them sometimes. And then from your dad's perspective, like, he's trying to show you the world. Like, these are some of the coolest experiences you're going to have, like, for your entire life, possibly. And you get to see the world and travel and meet different types of people. So it's really hard, but you got to have like a mutual respect, even when you're so young, and just understanding both perspectives is really important. And that's why I think that communication and transparency from between parents and their kids about where you're moving to, having realistic expectations for how long you're going to be there, and just being really upfront about everything. Because, I mean, I've heard like parents, they're like, oh, I don't want to tell my kids that we're moving. You know, I don't want to upset them. I'm just going to wait till the last minute. I'm like, that's the worst thing ever. Like, that is like the worst possible thing you could do to a kid, is spring it on them without time to mentally adjust and prepare. So it's definitely a unique dynamic.
Yes, definitely.
Did you have any siblings?
Yes, I have a little sister.
Yes.
Where
did she go to Kubasaki?
Yeah, she did. She went to freshman year of high school.
Nice. Well, what was that like? Because I have a little sister as well. I only have a little sister. And whenever you're moving around like that and you're leaving friends all the time, a lot of times it feels like that's the only person next to you. And it's kind of weird because they're the only person who has the exact same childhood that you have, whereas a stateside kid, you know, their entire town grew up the same way. Do you feel like a special connection, especially with her?
Honestly, no. I mean,
I tried. I gave it right there for you.
I know you. So easy. I was like, oh, man.
Did my best.
This question. I mean, I feel like just with my sister, like, just, you know, off record, like, we're just two different type of people, I guess. Like,
sure.
I feel like I was like, I'm the oldest. There's only two of us. So I got the hard of everything. She got the easy of everything. And she just wanted to copy everything that I did. I wasn't having it. Not at all. So I was just kind of like, not that I don't
for
know
sure.
you. And like, cause you know, when she was a freshman, I was a senior. And I was like, I really don't know you, girl. Like, you're kind of on your own. I mean, I have to talk to her here and there, but
And but at the same, like, you were also adjusting for the first time to that school, and you're still in very different positions. So, well, did all I could. what general advice would you have for military kids? You know, maybe especially State Department kids who are like doing these moves on their own. Like, they're so isolated in these communities where they're they probably feel so alone, and they don't speak the same language, and they're taking 2-hour bus rides to school every day. What one message would you have for them?
I would just say to take everything for what it is. Like, take in, as we were speaking before, like, take in the experience. Do all that you can when you're there. Because 10 out of 10, you really wouldn't move back there, to be honest. Like, when would you have that opportunity again? Mm-hmm. You really wouldn't, unless you pursue it yourself. Because even for me, like, I wanted to move back to California so, so bad to be with my family.
Yeah.
And coming back here, I'm just like, this is not what I want. It's just it's not what I thought or what I imagined it to be. I would have rather, much rather, just lived overseas somewhere else.
Mm-hmm.
If that makes sense. I don't know if it's like just because we were so disconnected. I moved so much growing up, so I'm just used to being away from my family. But I would take those experiences any day. It's just out of this world.
Yeah, it's totally different, I think, relationships with relatives, in that, you know, I've mentioned this before, but if you live in the same town, your relatives are also there. They kind of like help raise you in a way, but if you're away from them, you only see them if you're visiting them. Sorry, I have to sneeze.
Exactly.
This is going to be awful.
No, you're good. Wait,
am I going to hold it in? Am I good? I think I'm good. Okay, I think we're good. But yes, yeah, it's totally different. It's just a totally different dynamic with your relatives in that, you know, I only see them for holidays or for like special occasions. Mm-hmm. And then whenever you're living with them full time, like, I had to do this like once or twice with my grandparents. Love my grandparents to death. I hope they don't listen to the podcast. Whenever you live with them for an extended amount of time, you're like, wow, this is just different. This is different.
Yes. Yes. For not what you expected. Definitely.
Yeah. It's And it's just understandable. It's just another way that being a military kid is a really unique upbringing. And what about kids stationed in Okinawa? You have anything special for them?
For kids stationed in Okinawa, I just say, live the best that you can. Take in all the nature, all the waterfalls. Like, I really wish I would
beautiful
have done
place.
A lot of that stuff. Yes, there's so much scuba diving. I wish I would have just went ahead and faced my fears, went scuba diving. There's so much to see over there. Other than that, a good side hustle was babysitting. Definitely.
Yeah. Oh my goodness. That is the best side hustle there is. The amount you get paid for babysitting as a high schooler with no experience is absurd, and I absolutely love it. Everyone, if you babysit, go babysit. That is such good advice.
Definitely. And that's funny because on your podcast, Kai was on your podcast, right?
Yes. Yes.
I used to babysit him and his sister.
You're kidding me. You are not, you for real?
Yes.
Kai Grubbs? Mm-hmm. Oh my goodness. That is well,
that's what really brought me to your podcast, because I saw him and I'm like,
like, up. You're like, why is he so old?
Yes, he grew up so much. I mean, everybody grows up, but I'm just like, man, you were just in like elementary school, middle school when I was when I was babysitting you. Yeah.
Oh my goodness, that is unbelievable. I played tennis and baseball with him at Kubasaki. Like, we were you know, teammates and everything. So wow, that is bizarre. And I want to have his sister on the podcast as well. She's still at Kubasaki, and she's playing volleyball there. And then I'm assuming you knew his parents, who were also absolutely amazing. They were just the best.
Yes,
Coach
yes, Krebs, they're amazing.
A great mentor for me as well. So wow, that is such a cool connection. I had no idea. Mm-hmm. Thank you for telling me. I really,
course.
Well, this conversation has just been phenomenal. This is like so cool. I didn't even know you had lived in these places. So that's just one of the great parts about doing this podcast, learning more about new people I didn't know before. And also, I have a greater appreciation for State Department kids as well, because you know, you don't really talk about that too much. And just knowing that they are truly on their own compared to like Dodea schools, that is just a totally different thing. And I want to make sure to put more emphasis on that in the future. But
there's a couple kids.
No, go ahead. Couple kids.
Oh, I was gonna say there's a couple, like a couple military kids, but it's just like random. It's thrown in there just how I was. But,
yeah, exactly. Yeah. Totally different, but also really important for put some emphasis on. Yeah, so I'm going to wrap it up. Camille, I really appreciate you coming on the podcast, reaching out and having this conversation. You're always welcome back on. This was really, really cool for me, and I hope you enjoyed it as well.
Of course. Thank you so much for having me. I enjoyed
it. Yes, absolutely. And thank you, everyone, for watching. I'll have another episode next week, and yeah, I'll see you next time.
Is the world more peaceful since the revolution? I see nothing but death and chaos. I would like to see the baby.
Let's go.